This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
والله يدعو إلى دار السلام ويهدي من يشاء إلى صراط مستقيم.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to another episode of Purification of the Soul, where we're discussing some of the characteristics that a believer must remove from his soul, the bad characteristics, and adding some good characteristics to himself. We have with us in the studio our usual guests, Brother Muhammad on my right.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. We have Ahmed.
Assalamu alaikum.
And we have Gulraz.
Assalamu alaikum.
Now, in the last episode, we were talking about lying and about how abhorrent the sin is. And we said that there are many occasions when people lie. The first occasion that we mentioned is lying about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's have a recap on that. What is lying against Allah? What does it mean?
To mention things about Allah that really doesn't exist.
That are not true.
Or that we have no knowledge of, and therefore it may be incorrect.
Yes, and
so for example, you know, worshipping other than Allah, directing your worship to other than Allah, to a thing that doesn't deserve His worship.
Yes. All this would come under lying against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or speaking about Allah's deen, Allah's religion, Allah's deen of Islam, without knowledge. How would that be the case? If somebody asks,
saying that, no, Allah has made this permissible when He hasn't.
Exactly, and this is considered to be lying in Islam. So this is the greatest type of lie, the most severe type of lie, lying about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about this. He said, مَنْ كَذَبَ عَلَيَّ مُتَعَمِّدًا فَلْيَتَبَوَّأْ مَقْعَدَهُ فِي النَّارِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ. That whoever intentionally speaks about me, then let him take his seat in the hellfire, in the fire. So this hadith shows that it is absolutely haram, absolutely, categorically haram, to lie about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This includes attributing something to him as a statement, or attributing an action to him. Now, unfortunately, many people fall into doing this grave sin when they even sometimes they want to either encourage someone from doing good or prohibit them from doing something bad. And although their intention may be good, what they should know is that they're actually incurring the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by lying about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they're preparing their own seats in the hellfire. Why is it that people would lie against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam?
They could be enemies of Islam who want to change.
This is Islam. One example. They could be enemies of Islam who actually want to change the religion of Islam. So they make up and fabricate hadiths, pretending that they belong to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it.
You could even use the same example. There might be people who are trying to make a good in the religion, and therefore they will say the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said so and so and so, when that is not the case.
Let's have an example.
For instance, someone may say, if you do this, you will get this and this reward.
Yeah, if you do such and such act of worship, you'll get, for example, you know, such and such a reward in the paradise.
Could it even be a good action, like praying? They say if you pray, I don't know, 10 rakahs after Maghrib, you will get, I don't know,
such and such a reward.
Yeah.
And this could be of two types. You could either attribute it directly to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by saying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this, and this is obviously totally haram, and the person is incurring the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But also, one could just say, if you do this, you'll get this reward. This is lying about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have lying about Allah and lying about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Someone may argue, he might say, well, if I lie, if I make up a hadith to encourage someone doing an act of worship, something good, a good deed, well, why is that wrong? Why is that wrong? Because I'm actually doing something good by encouraging them to do an act of worship, like praying, like fasting, like paying zakah, like doing hajj, like going for jihad, like, you know, and all the other various good acts of worship. Someone might say, if I make up these rewards and attribute them to the Prophet ﷺ, well, it's going to encourage people.
Yeah, but one can easily counter and say that the sharia is complete.
The Sharia is complete. Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum. Allah says, I have today completed your religion of Islam. وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي, and I have perfected upon you my ni'mah, my blessing. وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا, and I have chosen for you Islam, and I've been pleased with Islam as your religion, your way of life. So since the religion is complete, the Prophet ﷺ, whatever he said, that's enough for us.
Yeah, whatever is good, Prophet ﷺ has told us.
Yes, whatever is good, the Prophet ﷺ would have told us. Because if a person, he lies about the Prophet ﷺ, not only is he incurring the wrath of Allah because he's lying about the Prophet ﷺ, but actually he's inventing things into the religion of Islam. He's inventing things into the religion of Islam. And the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا هَذَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنْهُ فَهُوَ رَدْ. Whoever introduces into this way of ours, into this affair of ours, that which is not from it, it will be rejected.
So is lying upon the Messenger and Allah, is that kufr or is that a major sin?
The scholars differ about this. However, what they all agree on is that it is at least at the level of major sin.
Okay.
Now there's enough in the authentic collection of hadith to warn against anything haram and to discourage doing, or sorry, to encourage doing anything good. So a person should be very careful to ensure that when he attributes something to the Prophet ﷺ, it is found in an authentic hadith. So that's one occasion, or there are two occasions where people lie against, why people lie. One, lying over Allah, lying about Allah, and lying about the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. Another common occasion when people lie is when they are trying to sell some merchandise. They have an item, they want to sell it. And so it's been reported that the Prophet ﷺ said, the businessmen or the traders are the sinners. It was said, O Messenger of Allah, didn't Allah allow trade? He replied, yes. But they take oaths and then sin by breaking them. And they speak and then lie and lie. So this hadith shows very clearly that unfortunately in the marketplace, in business, many people lie. How would this be the case?
For instance, one could say that I will sell you this laptop. It's in perfect, pristine condition. When in fact, it's not, and it may have some defects in it.
Yes, and this would be called ghish. In Arabic, this is called ghish, or concealing the faults of one's merchandise. The Prophet ﷺ said about this: "Man ghashana falaysa minna." Whoever, O kama qal, whoever deceives us is not from us. Is not from us. How else could this be done?
Example, you know, a trader would say, Wallahi, this, I brought this at this price, when he hasn't, he bought it for a much cheaper price.
Yes. So here he's combined between swearing by Allah, taking an oath by Allah, which the hadith mentions, which is not true, which is false, and also he's lying. This is another example where lying is in business. In the same way, people who provide services and they don't fulfill what they said that they're going to do. Again, it's lying. I'll do this, 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 when he knows that there's no way he can do this, 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 and this in that. So it is obligatory upon the seller to inform the buyer of any defects if there is any deficiency in the merchandise. But some people might say, well, you know, if I tell of these defects, nobody's going to buy it at the price that I want. How would you respond to that?
Doesn't deserve to be sold at that price.
This is from Islam, to be honest. So one must be honest, even if it means that your product will not be sold.
Yes, that's right. One has to be honest. And likewise, one should look at the other person's point of view. If he's going to buy some merchandise, just like you, when you buy merchandise, you don't want the other person to sell you deficient merchandise. You want it to be in good condition, or at least you want to know about its deficiencies before you buy it, so you can price it right. You can judge the right price. So it works both ways. Islam comes and it deals for the benefit, it solves the problems for the benefit of all people. It doesn't just look at one person's greed.
Surely an honest trader will have more blessing in his trade.
That's right. That's another point that it's been experienced, that a person who is honest in his trade, then inshallah he will find that he will have more repeat customers, for example. People will know that he's not a false, you know, a liar, and so on and so forth. Another occasion when people lie is to joke and make people laugh. The Prophet ﷺ is reported to have said, "Woe to those who speak and lie to make people laugh." So, woe to them, woe to them. And an example of that is when someone hides another person's shoes. And this is explicitly mentioned in one hadith. Yeah. Hiding someone's shoes, saying, "Hey, I don't know where they are." Why? Because in this scenario, the person doesn't actually know whether the person is telling the truth or not. There are other occasions where one can hide the truth without explicitly mentioning it. And we'll talk about that more after the break, inshaAllah, tabarak wa ta'ala.
Ask Good is a program which aims to answer your questions about your deen, your faith, your way of life. This, of course, is Islam.
This is a totally different price, but I divided the payment over this period of time. And the seller is the person or the firm which owns the item which you're buying in this condition. This form of business transaction is love.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We were talking about lying and how it's such a despised sin in the religion of Islam. Actually, in some religions, lying is actually allowed. Or in some people, they think that to lie in order to conceal their religion, in fact, and they call it taqiyah, they say this is allowed. As for Islam, no, we cannot lie in these situations at all. Now, let us have a look at some examples or consequences of lying. Why is it that Islam has prohibited lying? Let's have some consequences of lying, real life examples, where somebody might have lied and that's led to something bad.
Yeah, it may have led to that person's reputation being completely damaged.
You've got an example for this?
Yeah. Actually, when I arrived in Egypt, I wanted to buy a SIM card.
A telephone SIM card.
So I ended up going to the shop, and then I said, okay, I want to buy this and this. And the person assured me, okay, this is very good, buy this. And then I ended up paying 270 junays for it, when in fact it's only worth 30.
Actually, something happened to me similar, in Egypt as well. Yeah.
So because of that, I warned a lot of people for buying from that, and undoubtedly, he's lost some trade from that.
Yeah, so when you warn other people, so the guy, instead of, he thinks he's made a quick buck, if you like, but he's lost a lot of trade. Similar thing happened to me when I paid much, much more for a service, where I should have paid much less. Yes, what else do you have any?
One that can maybe have even more serious effects, is like, for example, a person, he wants to look important, or he wants to gain some benefits. So, for example, you know, he goes to the police and says, you know, I have some information, I can help you. You know, such and such person, you know, he's a criminal, he does such and such bad things. You know, watch out for him, you know, investigate him. So maybe based on
that,
he lies just to...
The person's really not a criminal.
Yeah, so, you know, just to look important in front of the police, or just to, you know, raise his profile. And maybe the police can take drastic actions against that person.
Yeah.
You know, they may raid his house, they may, you know, beat him, torture him.
And the family's been subject to this kind of...
Yeah, and there's many examples we've heard of this, you know, where the person's life has been ruined just because a person has lied against him.
Okay, imagine, how's the person going to answer Allah with this? And this is quite an extreme example of where lying's led to something really bad.
Again, it happened to me. I was buying a product and I bought it at a certain price, and I saw the same product with one of my friends, and I asked the price. It was less, much less than the price I bought it at, and then we decided that we we won't go and to buy things from such a person who sells things at a higher price. I mean, it ruined his reputation, as Muhammad said. It ruined the man's reputation. And it was once for and for all. I mean, lots of people, we told our friends and we kept on telling them that this kind of man is selling expensive things or things that are not that price.
And the worst thing about it is that, for me, and I'm sure it was for the rest of us, is that we put our trust in him because he's Muslim. Mm. So we put our trust and we said, okay, Bismillah, here, take the money.
The guy said it based upon his statement, you bought it. Yeah, I mean, it's quite common, unfortunately. Yeah. Something that really we do need to purify ourselves.
It wasn't
on this, inshallah. So it's very important to avoid this kind of lying. But I think one way of dealing with this kind of situation is maybe going back to that person and saying, because you told me this, I've warned 10 people against you. I've given them nasiha. And we looked in a previous episode about when backbiting is allowed. And one of them is to warn the Muslims from the bad consequences of or the evil of a particular individual. So it might be good to actually go back to the person who sold you that merchandise and say, well, actually, if you remember, you said to me that it's worth this much, and based upon that word, I bought it, and I found that it's not worth this much. I actually went and told 10 people about this, and they've told other people. So, and this maybe will encourage them from not doing this again, inshallah. Let's have a look at some other experiences that people have had with regards to lying.
Well, if you lie against God and His Prophet, then people will assume that what you're saying is true, and it's not. And that would give you false sovereignty and will cause and will make people believe that what you're saying is true and will believe in you. And you can guide them in whatever direction, because you're assuming that you're the messenger of God while you're not. God is not talking to you. Actually, anybody can interpret God's words, but no one really knows what God wants, because He's God and we're people.
If anyone gonna lie to a person, he should be punished, but not in the life. He can maybe in the afterlife.
Well, I think it's a major sin, because if you sinning is part of, it goes against all known virtues for people. So not all religious persons have to lie, but and not everybody in general lies. But if you lie, it means that you're not well raised, or you have an issue about something, or you're afraid of something. It doesn't mean that or it means actually that your relation with God is not that strong. Because if your relation with God is strong, you don't really have to lie.
Yes, it's a major sin, because it can cause breakups or disasters among people in the world, for our beloved ones as well.
That can affect a person. Another instance where people lie a lot is something a bit more hidden, something not so clear-cut. And that is by reporting everything that one hears. And this is because a person, he not only hears truth, but he also hears falsehood. A person in and of himself may well be trustworthy. He might be a person who always tells the truth. But maybe somebody in the line of narration is not telling the truth. So if he doesn't verify the information that he hears before spreading it, then he'll end up speaking falsehood as well as truth. And this is why Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is sufficient to attribute to a person lying if he narrates everything that he hears. And this hadith is in Sahih Muslim. It's sufficient to attribute to a person the bad quality of lying if he narrates everything that he hears. Why is that the case?
One should make sure of every single thing that he knew about. I mean, a person is committed to whatever he says. I mean, you are not sure when you hear someone is talking about something and you still went on reporting it. It might be false after all.
We've seen a devastating effect on that in one of the lives, in the lives of one of the female companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who knows?
Aisha
radiallahu anha, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When she was young, she was a girl of about 15 years of age. Somebody came and they were on an expedition. They were on an expedition. Now, in those days, they would sit, the females would sit in what is called a hodej. And a hodej is like a little tent, if you like, which is put on top of a camel. It's like a little seating tent which you put on top of a camel. And some of the women would sit in there while the rest of the companions would be, one person would be taking the camel's noose, for example, walking, and so on and so forth. So the Prophet ﷺ was busy in this particular expedition. So one of his companions was you know, leading the camel of Aisha radiallahu anha. She was obviously covered in this tent. They stopped for a break, and Aisha radiallahu anha, she said that we only used to eat one or two morsels of food a day. Now you can, this is a, you know, it gives us some insight about their life. They didn't used to stuff their faces with, you know, two, three meals a day, as we do, but just a few morsels of food every day. And so she said that I was very thin. I was very, you know, light in weight. She got off the camel, and she went off to relieve herself. And of course, in those days, they didn't necessarily have bathrooms. They didn't have bathrooms the way we have. So they used to go far and pass their stool or their urine and then come back. And Aisha radiallahu anha, she came back, but then she forgot that she forgot her necklace. She'd lost the necklace. And the necklace was only made of, you know, it wasn't made of gold or silver. It was made of any material that isn't even worth much. But this is another quality of the Sahaba. They would never waste things. And so she went back. She didn't want to lose something like this. It was precious to her, even though it wasn't worth much financially, if you like. She goes off to look for the necklace. She comes back, and the caravan is gone. Now in this hadith, Aisha radiallahu anha herself, she's narrating this hadith. And she says, and look at this, the beauty of her character. She says, the people, they went off, and perhaps it was because we were light. We weren't very heavy. So he didn't realize, the person who was leading the camel, he didn't realize that I wasn't there. So she makes an excuse for him. She didn't curse him or criticize him. She said, no, they went off. So they went off. So she said, okay, I found out. I realized that inshallah they'll come back or they'll realize that I'm missing. So I went to sleep. And this is another very important thing. She's in the middle of the desert and she's probably very scared. But yet she's only 15 years old. But yet she simply goes to sleep. She's not, you know, she has trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She has full trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, in this scenario, what happened was, one of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ came and saw Aisha radiallahu anha lying there. Now Aisha, as we know, she used to wear what is known now as a niqab, a face covering. But because she was sleeping, she had it up. So this companion recognized her. How did he recognize her? Because he had seen her before the ayat of hijab were revealed. Before the verses ordering the women to cover their bodies and faces were revealed, the verses of the Qur'an. So this companion had seen her. So that's how he recognized her. And she said that I woke up and all I heard was this companion saying, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. That's all I heard. And I just got up and I followed him. In other words, he got off his camel, she stood on his camel or horse, I forget which one, and they carried on walking. Now there was a lie that took place, which you can imagine, based upon this incident. But inshallah, in the next episode, we're going to come back to this incident and look in a bit more detail about how this lie affected Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.